You know, folks, in recent times, we're sensing the nuance of an invasive wind of visitation, a new visitation of God. It's going to become pervasive. There's a call to lay aside the false self that is based on self-rule, self-righteousness, and self-preservation. The Lord's rendered that legally dead. It's toxic to feed on it. And with a certain reckless abandon, to give ourselves over to the Spirit of grace. That is the operation of His favor that has done and is doing what we could never do in and of ourselves. And in the shakiness of the times, He's training our feet to find the rock, which is unshakable, from which the water of provision of life flows, whatever the economic times. And He's doing a dealing and a healing in His church. And He's delivering God's people from methodology to ride on the winds of majesty. It's not without shaking. You know, some of the old pilots back in the early 50s that were pioneers in aviation and breaking the sound barrier. I think of people like Colonel Chuck Yeager. Those old jets didn't have the integrity and construction to handle those kind of speeds smoothly. So just before the breakthrough, there would be a shake, rattle, and roll that felt like disintegration. But they would break into a smoothness of flight that was surreal, that was a pilot's dream. There is a learning to come with a certain unrelenting focus on the Lord, to lay aside self-effort, self-rule, self-preservation, and any areas of self that the Lord would expose and exchange that for the new self that rides on the risenness of Him. They that wait upon the Lord will renew or exchange their strength. That can easily mean in Isaiah. They shall mount up on wings as eagles, and there is a certain diligence of faith that results in a breakthrough of the restfulness of faith. Very much like the aviators of old. We learn to exercise those primary disciplines of just that resolute coming before God and saying, Lord, I just recognize You as not only my example, but my enabler. Take me, transfuse me, transform me that I might transmit You and teach me to grow in grace. Grace is God's ability. To grow in grace is to grow in the ability to trust God's ability and to rise on the buoyancy, force, and flow of His life in us and through us. We're going to see this underscored in this invasive visitation to come, and it's going to become pervasive. I've seen glimpses in my spirit already. Others have actually seen the events occurring in other parts of the country. Soon to come at a spiritual theater near you and me. It's a good time to be alive, folks. So I lift adoring hands as I sing before Your throne with Your love's consuming fire. Make my trembling heart Your own. With the incense of my heart, my impassioned lips proclaim, holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is Your name. King of kings and Lord of lords, wreathed in glorious wings of praise, holy, holy is the Lamb. Ruler, the Ancient of Days. Jesus, You have melted me, that I may flow triumphantly. My soul is healed, my spirit's free. Your hand to hold, Your face to see. The flowing river of Your life heals the wounds of fleshly strife, blending now with joyous springs. Deliverance flows, creation sings. Behold the King upon His throne in brilliant light. He will reign forever. By His right hand He breaks the tempest's might. He will reign forever. Holy, holy is the Lamb who for our sins was slain, the grave could not contain. He reigns forever. Our intercessions are as fragrance at His throne. He will reign forever. To His praying saints He makes His glory known. He will reign forever. Holy, holy is the Lamb. His power invades the land. His warriors take His hand. He reigns forever. The kings of earth will bow and fall upon their face. He will reign forever. Oh, saints, sing hallelujah for His grace. He will reign forever. Holy, holy is the Lamb. His scepter shall not fail. The King of kings prevails. He reigns forever. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. His train. The Greek counterpart of that Hebrew is the hem, as in the hem of His garment. And the train of a king was added to as He conquered other kings and made open display of them as He led captivity captive. And we begin to see the Lord of eternity as man forsakes message or method and rides on majesty. And the risen one begins to ride. And we catch the upward wind. And on eagle's wings we glide. And His victory train that has conquered death in all of its forms begins to be wonderfully touchable and reachable, as we're going to see a profusion of signs and wonders in these days. There'll be folks that have grappled with emotional issues for years, been through much counseling, and have kind of stayed afloat and inched their way forward. But a certain instantaneous suddenness of the sword of the Lord hitting the hackles on their heels and breaking forth into a run, even as they hear the Lord say, "Let's run together. I'm drawing you. Let's run together." It happened in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah started off on the right foot. And under his leadership, Israel achieved some marvelous pinnacles economically, militarily, artistically, architecturally. But he became strong in his own eyes and put method above majesty. It was that time he had a collision with the priesthood in the temple. And royalty that had sown pride became rejected with leprosy. There was a sowing of rebellion and a reaping of rejection. God doesn't really care to reject anybody. But there is a certain sowing and reaping that's intrinsic to just how life works. Previous visitations, we've seen just kind of a climate that's closed in on situations. It's been a blessing. But this is going to be the demonstration of the resurrected one rising and adorning His people with glory, and in the climate of that glory performing some marvelous things. There'll be a whole new depth of prophetic profundity that's rising. Artistry, creativity is with the tabernacle of David. There'll be a release of the streams of the Spirit flowing from the temple of God, even as Ezekiel 37:1, as the sacred invades the secular with tremendous impact. The methods of man die, as in King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died. We're not talking about a bunch of people that are going to become a burial ground, but an attitude to be relinquished and allowed to be buried. The methodology of self-effort and hitching a ride on majesty. Being trained in eagle flight. Rising above the currents of difficulty and with an eagle's eye seeing the provision of God. That economic times of deprivation for the world in no way subtract from the promises of God. I catch the upward wind that you send to lift me high. My troubles seem like specks as there upon the ground they lie. I look into your eyes so true. You take my soul and you make it new. The upward wind has lifted me to you. Now, some personal prophetic words, and you don't have to be alarmed over that if it's new to you. Anything I have to say tonight would be encouraging in nature. Edification is to build up. That underscores the new you. Exhortation is to inspire or stir up. It is the gentle breath of God blowing upon the coals of our inner being and causing the fire of desire to rise. And consolation, where we've been roughed up and wounded, the Lord comes with the embrace of grace of the great physician, an extension of Daddy Lord, Abba. It gives us a healing hug. Sets us back into joint at points where we might have been out of joint a bit. Does it with love. I don't come here to underscore anybody's flesh factors. You know, we could stare one another down and read the riot act of our flesh factors and end up saying, hey, tell me something I don't know, okay? And think it not absurd that a prophetic word might ride on melody, as the sons of Asaph prophesied on harps, you see. I'll ask your name if there's a prophetic word. And I trust you'll feel you're glad I came. What's your name, my brother? Paul. Paul, a picture of patriarchal tenderness. A picture of the heartbeat of Abba. Especially for your family. Jesus is all in all to Paul, and in the countenance of the King, the face of the Father they see. They sense a certain love. It's like heartwarming fire in the Father's family room in the fireplace. As the fire of God burns with gentle warmth, welcoming grace. And even now, for those family members for whom you intercede. Oh, and there's partners in prayer. For where seemingly now their hearts may seem to bleed. Prophetic declarations in prayer that don't just melt in the air, but the Father hears faith's bold confession. And will pounce on that word to perform it. Even as you're speaking the very counsels that have been mandated in heaven on earth, which is by definition intercession. What are your names?
Nancy.
And? Jim. Nancy and Jim. A healing voice to one another. Where there had been grief and difficulty, a coming together, an exchange of the heart in a sweet, deep, special kind of way. Nancy and Jim, the followers of him. It's a time of marvelous comfort. And even there were to be attempts of attack on your physicality, the Lord is there with the reality of the ability to heal as only he can. What's your name? Donald. You've been through some tough stuff, Donald. A lesser man would have quit and cashed it in and says, I'm getting off this operating table and going home. Where there was the affliction of addiction that tried to pursue, the Lord of glory was there for you. And what had hammered and hackled before, your heart cry didn't ignore and begin to whack away and bringing liberty in this special day. And he sees you as a man after your own heart. And with the King, you're getting ready to have some fun. Daddy Lord looks at you and he's delighted to call you son. What's your name, my brother, right here?
Omer.
What again?
Omer.
Omer? Conversational evangelism. You'll evangelize at the drop of a hat, and Don't drop the hat. There'll be those that look very unseemly, like they're light years away from the kingdom, but you see they're right on the brink of entering in, and you're there to speak a timely word in the mighty name of Him. Omer is there, filling the air with a gospel breeze. And the next thing you know, they've been prepared and they start to receive with ease. What's your name?
Gordon.
Gordon, the Lord is causing you to see the face of the Father who is your daddy too. There's a restoration and recovery of father favor in a special way to make up for lost years. You're a man with godly desire, and He breathes on your fire. In fact, what you've seen exemplified in many ways will become expressive of you in many, many, many ways. Jesus is our example. He's also our enabler, and we will see Him as our exampler and an impartation of enablement to those that love us and point us to Him on a regular basis. Even as we're approaching a season of revival, so important, folks, to have that daily set apart fresh transfusions of the heart. You know, as we exercise the diligence of faith and embrace the discipline of coming apart and resolutely recognizing Him as our sole source and life force on our behalf, there begins this marvelous life exchange. We'll see areas that might have had tendencies toward impurity. Say, Lord, I repent of that. And in exchange, I receive the influx of Your pure life. Lord, where I've seen anxious agitation, I lay aside that anxiety and I receive the influx of Your peace, the very peace of You. You were never in a hurry. You're never late. And Lord, where there's been some old tendencies toward judgmental resentment, I lay them aside and embrace Your mind and heart of mercy and begin to, with the eagle's glide. And there in that place, our wings of faith and worship are spread. And it's like the wind of the Spirit comes up under us. And the next thing we know, we are in eagle's flight with the aerial view. And we begin to see revelation knowledge through the lens of the Lord. Lord, I see my old man really has been crucified with Christ. My religious flesh can stop trying to rehabilitate my rebellious flesh. Flesh is no longer my basic nature, but it's a condition I got to deal with. But the fact by Calvary act that my once old nature is dead and the flesh is just a house He haunts and I don't have to live there. We begin to see how dead to lifeless legalism we are. How we've been set free from a vain way of life that has tried to somehow appease the God of glory and our own conscience by living up to the law. Once we're confronted with the fact that we can't keep it, Calvary's act kicks in, and we rise not over only over sin's penalty, but the very power of sin. Oh, it's a moment-by-moment thing of that kind of reliance and the defiance of the grip and gravity of sin's power. And as we embrace those primary disciplines, the secondary discipline of saying yes to light, no to darkness, becomes increasingly effortless as we ride on the buoyancy, force, and flow of the very life of Jesus within. Oh, they see the debris going out from our imperfections, but that just lets them know that we're human just like they are. But there is something supernaturally special in the outgoing and outflowing that they are drawn to drink from. What's your name?
Carol.
An eye of artistry. Vivid imagination. And I saw the Lord often invading your imagination with His person, Carol. Revealing Himself as the bridegroom that you can totally trust. and speaking healing words to you. Where there was some relational breakdown before, where the enemy's tried to play blame games, the Lord just takes the lash from his hand and drives him away with it. You got a tender heart, a gift of mercy that's going to come forth in marvelous ways in these days. You'll be an anointed nurse by the great physician's side to speak words of healing love. It sets at liberty where folks have been bruised. You can say, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Luke 4:18, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord of Jubilee. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Was it Bob? Did I remember correctly? And he told me earlier, so don't think I'm more prophetic than I am. He's got Bob over here. Yeah, where is he? Yeah. Tell the guys that do that, they got 3 fingerprints right up here. Bob, a blend of congeniality and compassion. Congeniality and compassion, that's how you're fashioned. Hey, that's Bob on the job. Swift to uplift. There were times when you needed it, and the Lord was there with an influx of just Holy Ghost fresh air, encouraging and uplifting you, but you're such a giver. As soon as He raised you up, you're looking around for people to encourage. A marvelous ministry of encouragement, Bob. And those that have been through a valley of grief seeming beyond belief will find you there, and you'll be a velvet glove. Jesus' hand that touches them and says, I care. So we come before the Lord and we wait upon Him. We make an appointment, and there is this resoluteness to look at Him as our soul source, our life force, and there begins to be this transaction of a life exchange where we see things that are subpar of His life of abundance. We simply lay those aside repentantly and receive the influx of His life as an exchange. We begin to spread out our wings of faith and worship, and we catch the upward wind, and the next thing we know, we have been renewed to our true ego identity, where the enemies tried to tell us we were chickens doomed to peck around in the field and run for the hen house whenever there was a storm. Ah, but the eagle spreads those wings and his heart to sing as he rises above it and angles his wings that even makes the storm winds work. An opportunity to experience risenness. And up there in the rarefied air, it's so revelatory. And he looks down at the terra firma of the earth below, and the Lord reminds us to know that His life has overcome the grip and gravity of sin, self, self-absorption, the system, and Satan himself. And the next thing, we're renewed to glide, enjoy the ride, and when we land again, we run with a sense of mission, without fatigue, and we walk without a sense of tedium, and all things are new. Takes regular flights, doesn't it? Like to turn the corner and kind of consummate this with a story. You know, storytelling's an art form. The Lord's restoring the arch to the church. Storytelling may be the oldest art form of all. Imagination is part of our mind. May I suggest to you that our mind is our ability to reason, our ability to recall, and our ability to imagine. When our mind is renewed, that is when it's transfused through quality time with the Lord, our reason tracks in cadence with the Word and Spirit. A renewed reasoning is an ability to steer our mind. But it's power steering. If you've ever had the power steering go out on your car, you know what steering an unrenewed mind is like. I know both spiritually and mechanically. Having our recall renewed, the Lord defangs hurtful memories and condemning memories. And we begin to see times of divine intervention. You know, there's a marvelous principle that triggers the prophetic in us when we attest to the great and mighty things that the Lord has done, according to Revelation 19:10, the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. That rearview mirror of the great and mighty things he's done is joined by a prophetic lens that sees spiritually into the now and beyond and begins to move prophetically. It's a prophetic trigger. I use it often myself. It's a principle. It's not some trick of the trade. Our imagination, it's a stage, an ability to envision that sometime the Lord invades with vision. It's where poems, songs are created, even sales presentations. Jesus was a businessman for longer than he was a public minister. There is a whole new anointed band of entrepreneurial folks that are being released into the marketplace. So, imagine. Imagine. We've just driven a death-defying network of freeways, and no sooner than our nerves jangled or starting to subside, we reach our destination, which is an air terminal. And if there's anything that's... hospitals may be more weird than air terminals, but it's a dead heat. You know, people are kind of glazed over and removed from familiarity, looking very insecure. You know, when you're standing in line, you don't want to say, hey, folks, let's all do a group hug here and chill out, you know. So with jangled nerves, we enter the terminal. And the first thing we see is where we check the baggage. And there standing behind it is a man with radiant countenance that we recognize as an angel. And so we take our baggage and he tags it. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Hammered by the condemnation of old mistakes. Phobias regarding certain personality types. Fear of foreboding events happening to loved ones. And he tags it and says, you're checking this. Don't pick it up again when you land. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. When you're resting from it, he's working on your behalf. So the angel directs us down the particular corridor to our gate. And he says, you're going to be taking off on flight 777, Silver Eagle, they that wait upon the Lord. And the more often you hitch a ride on flight 777, Silver Eagle, the more you're going to be conditioned to live at your legal address, 777 Grace Place in Christ, Kingdom of God. And there you don't fail to get your Holy Ghost mail. So we head down the corridor, and we look out a window, and we see this marvelous airship. From the head to the tail, they've spared no wealth in the manufacturing of this. And there, emblazoned with this artistic, prolific logo, Flight 777 Silver Eagle, they that wait upon the Lord. We enter the cabin, and it is posh. Oh, the decor, the colors. It's artistic masterpiece. And a voice comes on the PA. This is your captain speaking. The captain of your salvation. He says, you know your assigned seat? He says, I want you to consider something before you sit in that seat. That is my righteousness that has been imputed to you as a gift. Something you could never earn. The God of glory, who has a monopoly on righteousness and requires it to relate to him, made it possible for you to receive as a gift that you might have audience and access with him at any moment. He says, don't try to figure out in your mind at this point. Wrap your heart around the fact of it. And as you wrap your heart around the fact, it will become a force that renews your mind to the fact that you are a new creature created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Because righteousness is a position, but it's a new nature. But it's also an operation of the spirit of righteousness works within you to will and to do his good pleasure. And give that operation your cooperation and it produces the fruit of righteousness in your life. He says, that's a fourfold truth of righteousness. It's a position, a new nature, an operation that calls for cooperation that's fruitive, that's expressed in the fruit of righteousness. He says, just relax in that. Just relax in that. Lay aside your religiosity. Lay aside your jangled nerves and just rest in the buoyancy of who I am. And you just sense even the delicious fragrance filling this cabin. You can look out the window at that stench and fog that you were gagging on. Enjoy the fragrance that rises from the revelation of righteousness. All of that religious gear grinding is silenced and you hear the voice of the Spirit. And he says, as he begins to pull away down the runway, he says, look out the window. Everything there is gravity bound. But there's a higher law than the law of gravity, the law of aerodynamics. And there's a higher law than the compelling condemnation of sin. And it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you've been brought into this Zoe zone, my life zone, Zoe, the creative, powerful, pure life of God. You have been brought into that zone through what I've done through resurrection. And he says, I've defeated sin. I've defanged it where it can no longer eternally damn you. And I have provided a dimension where it can no longer compel you. I've silenced its condemning voice and even enabled you to walk out of where it would besiege and surround you by the operation of my pure, powerful life within you, that I will teach you to give yourself over in reckless abandon and stop your religious wrestling and rise restfully above sin's power. And if that plane takes off into the wild blue yonder, and the bee begins to do some loop-de-loops up there, and Jesus says, I got a fun side. I'd like you to join me. He says, sometime you get too serious about yourselves, folks. Just turn to relax in my goodness and greatness and my sense of humor. And he does loop-de-loops. He says, isn't this a ride? And you notice you don't need barf bags. There's none on the front of that pocket in the seat in front of you. He says, there is a statement of covenant. Reach in there. God is pure love and goodness, and you are lavishly loved, forgiven, declared righteous by God, and risen and released from the rule of legalism and lawlessness to be led in the spirit of liberty and partner redemptively with the living God as he moves across the face of the earth. Covenant, it's life in common with the King. And he says, now we're going to kind of strafe planet Earth and get the aerial view of things that you already know, but it's so impossible to see it through the lens of the Lord. He flies down low over a graveyard, a cemetery. He says, there's a stone in there with your name on it. That's the used-to-be you who is dead. Stop trying to rehabilitate him, your religious flesh, trying to change your rebellious flesh. It's an inner civil war. You can't discipline your flesh, but you can give yourself over to the Spirit and live above its gravity. It's no longer your nature, but a condition that is defeated moment by moment by the Lord of life. And he goes on to say, the used to be you is dead, 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 knowing this, Romans 6:6, knowing this, knowledge at heart level, that your old man has been crucified with Christ. He wasn't fit for rehabilitation, only execution. And God did it. And he moves over a little further, and there is these two immense stone tablets. He said, that was the law, my perfect standard of morality etched and sculpted in stone staring up at you. There was a time you labored under the folly, frenzy, and delusion. You could somehow keep that and appease and satisfy the righteousness of God in your own screaming conscience. And you tried and tried till you were blue in the face. And finally, in collapsed exhaustion, said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry, God. He says, I've been waiting to hear you say, you can't do it. You can't do it. Not only did I declare it, Jesus says, and I refined it and deepened it at heart level to where you were really confronted with the impossibility, but to know the absolute necessity of grace and the abundance of grace, it's not just a doctrine. It is a force. It is the operational power of God's favor that has done and is doing for us in and of ourselves, and we need fresh doses of it on a regular basis as we grow in grace, that is, growing in the ability to trust God's ability. He flies over a little further. There's this cloud. It's kind of got neon lights and it's just sort of contaminated. He says, that's the spirit of this world. It tried to sell you a bill of goods. It said, boy, girl, let me treat you some street savvy. You learn the art of flattery, intimidation, deception, and you'll prepare a place for yourself. He said, what a lie. The world system is given over to the forces of seduction and intimidation. It tries to seduce you into its savvy. If you don't buy it, it intimidates and threatens you with destitution and rejection. He said, it is a lie. I have prepared a place for you, and I'm training you to reign and to learn to live there moment by moment in the present tense, and there'll be a day when the complete haze of history is burned away, and you will know my unveiled presence, and the very presence of sin will be gone forever. But meanwhile, to the degree that you die to its deceptions, you rise above its gravity, and it's no longer seen as a prison, but a land of opportunity to shine my light in. He flies on a little further, and there's this immense circle. And some of it's got black parts, some of it's got gray parts. He says, the black is rebellious unbelief. The gray is confusion. And you see that reptilian creature that is staked to a chain there? He's the enemy of your soul. He is pawing and clawing up at this aircraft, and he's shouting insults and degrading things to you, telling you what a louse you are, and trying to validate it with some of the more twisted aspects of your resume, which are under the blood. And he says, as long as you stay away from deception and unbelief, you're out of his range. That's the only place he can exercise power. He's been stripped of all legal authority. Oh, you might venture in there and get bitten, but I'll be there to hug you and heal you and say, don't do that again. And he says, don't try to lawyer with him. Don't try to argue. All you've got to say is the blood of Jesus, but you've got to know what you're talking about. There is a voice and testimony to the blood that says you are forgiven, you have been declared righteous, and you are God's possession, and he has no part and parcel or a right to any lever in your life whatsoever. The blood of Jesus. When you know what you're talking about, when you're speaking out of revelation, he knows that you know and flees the scene. And he says, you can give him one of my cards. It's right there in the pocket where there's no barf bag. You reach down and there's the card. Jesus Christ, attorney at law, president of the law firm, over and done with, motto, it is finished. Having been renewed, time to land again. You can run and not be weary. Run speaks of its exertion, and yet it's moving in the flow of God with a sense of mission. It can be stepping forward to bring a word of prophecy. It can be stepping into an evangelistic opportunity. It can be a longer-term mission with coordination and speaking to leaders. There's a running, but there's an exhilaration that comes because we're running together with Jesus. Draw me unto you and let us run together. I love that line in the old movie, Chariots of Fire. It was a bio of Eric Little, who became a prolific missionary, but was a marvelous believer and testifier of King Jesus as an Olympic athlete. And I remember one of the lines in the movie that Eric Little said was, when God made me, he made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. We can walk and not faint. Just the hypnotic tedium of the routine that just causes us to detach and collapse into unconsciousness to where we're just kind of droning through life. All things begin to become new. We begin to see fresh solutions to challenges. There's an opportunity just in the course of living to smile and touch and extend something of being a glove on his hand to folks. He says, we're coming in for a landing. Don't collect your baggage again. Receive the fuel of my renewal and begin to move and walk and run with it. And he says, some of you need to fly more often. Get some more frequent flyer mileage in here. It's a treasure beyond compare. Learning to live in the rarefied air of eagle flight and to come in for a landing and to walk in accord and partner with me redemptively in my power Moment by moment, it's a delight. And yeah, when your feet walk in some gunk and junk, the water of the Word is there to wash the stigma of that away and just to renew you to walk in the light of day. I'm patient and persevering, and I'm going to have my way coming forth in you, and I've got the very best, the hope in a future. It's true. And as we move forward, the Lord would say, into the visitation of the revelation of the King, it's going to give hell an audacious blast. And know that the Lord of the feast saves the best wine for last. What are your names here?
I'm Rick, and this is my lovely wife, Annie.
Oh, I love that. Way to go, Rick. Now I saw you as prophetic stereo. One speaking to the other, man and wife, yet sister and brother in the spirit. And at times when you just close in with compassion in a ministerial situation and you begin to speak with prophetic tenderness to those that the Lord has set for you to minister to. There'll be times when it's individuals, when it's couples, a true, marvelous gift of hospitality. In fact, the Lord is going to do something very special in a, I believe, a new domestic setting for you. Rick, an ability to be joyfully bombastic. And you can be that because you've been elastic with the ability to be stretched. Any impartation with just the joy of the Lord that is the strength with others. Marvelous combination, direct opposites in so many ways, but orchestrated in harmony of heart. As you listen to the master's voice of the things he does say and the directive of the conductor's baton. Marvelous season ahead. There's a reckless abandon to lay aside the old in all of its forms. And a lot of it was good, and yet in newness by him to be led. Prophetic tandem. Speaking of intercessors, what's your name?
Claudia.
Claudia, you've been persevering, and even when the subject of intercession might seem to take two steps forward and one step back, well, you're there to persevere. There is no quit in you. You've gotten a hold of promises on their behalf. And you are tenacious as a pit bull when it comes to that. Folks, a lot of times, you know, when these words go forth, they're community property. So you may have heard a word and a slice of the prophetic pizza sounded like, hey, cut here and help yourself. That happens all the time. I've helped myself to several slices of yours this evening. What is your name, my brother?
Adam.
Tenderhearted. Just the soil of your soul, Adam, it's tender to receive the seed of the Lord. There's some new things that he's doing. He sees an awakening going inside of you and is just delighted in it. The Father is taking delight in the desire to call you son. Where there's been some just horrendous rejection and shafts where you've been pierced through, the hand of the great physician is tenderly removing those things from you. He sees you as a man who's a son of comfort. You're going to be an encouraging glove on his hand of love and encourage many. He loves where you're at, and he's going to lead you along yet further. He appreciates your heart toward him. It's a blend now of curiosity about some things, but some cravings about some things. You're a man who won't settle for anything less than the truth. You're not somebody given to religious polyester. It's got to be the real deal, and you're starting to see it, and the Lord's loving it. God bless you, Adam. By the way, there's CDs out there, folks. They're $10 each. There's change in an envelope. Just serve yourself if you're inclined. But the important thing is that you take something home in your heart, and I trust it's been something of an admonition of just the importance of pressing into the Lord on a daily basis, coming with the life exchange of fresh transfusions of the heart, catching the upward wind of eagle flight with the aerial view. And it's there that we're renewed to come in for a landing. Though the times are demanding, He empowers us in this hour to run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, as we participate in the grace of the very life of Christ within us Himself, moving in His buoyancy, flow, and force that has defied the gravity of the world, the flesh, the devil, the system. Being renewed to the fuel of His grace, the operation of His victorious life within us. Turning ourselves recklessly over to the overcomer, rising above the gravity of this world's bummer. God bless that to your heart and soul.